This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line Podcast Network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I'm always high on the hogs, guys. I'm high. Well, I'm not high right now, but my day is young.
My odometer's way up there. I'm that 2018 that's already got 130,000 miles on it.
The Razorbacks rush across the field to get that boot.
Tommy, Chuck, and Ty, you guys are the gold standards of sports talk radio.
He bleeds Arkansas.
Ty's got good hair.
So you and I have both gotten to see the College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta, Georgia. Really cool setup. They've got all the helmets when you walk in the doors. If you're ever down in that area, highly recommend it. Just going to see it. Nick Saban, Urban Meyer, Mark Ingram, Heisman Trophy winner, DeSean Jackson of California, Manti Te'o, Notre Dame. Some of the notable names in the class of 2025. Now, Saban, even though he just retired, is eligible because he's over the age of 70. In order to be a coach considered, 10 years of experience, got to be over 600 in college football, and have 100 games at least under your belt. That's going to be unanimous. It's going to be as unanimous as it ever is, kind of like Paul Bear Bryant. I would think Urban Meyer is going to wind up in there, but just looking at the list of notable names, it's pretty crazy, including Wade Martin, Arkansas's own, who was an All-American back in, I guess, the 80s it was.
Is Urban Meyer a shoe-in? You mentioned Saban. Obviously, that's as unanimous as it gets. Anyone that would vote against him shouldn't have a ballot. Urban Meyer won't be unanimous because of all the other things that have surrounded him. And is it a good year to bring him in with Saban? Does that cloud Saban's entry at all? I don't know. I mean, that's interesting that they would be on the same ballot.
I think that, again, Meyer's been out of the coaching profession for several more years than Nick Saban has now.
He's been out talking, like a half an hour, and he's already there.
Yeah, and in talking about Meyer, there's no questioning his football coaching acumen, his prowess, his ability to win games. And Bowling Green, Utah, Florida, Ohio State. But like you said, it's the off-the-field stuff that, whether it's the Zach Smith...
Well, he won't be a unanimous election.
The Zach Smith stuff, what happened in Gainesville, Florida, over the course of his tenure. There are going to be some people that, like you said, won't vote him in, but he will wind up in the College Football Hall of Fame.
Probably.
And but, I would think it's going to be this year, too. But it's not going to be unanimous, like you said.
Yeah, and it's almost unfair to Nick Saban. Not that Saban needs more credit or more notoriety or more spotlight. But that does, you know, the negative always oversells the positive. It's just the media world we live in. And that will be the story, is all the things off the field that clouded Urban Meyer's career. And rather than the on-the-field accomplishments. And that will take away, to some degree, Nick Saban's enshrinement.
Mm-hmm.
Just will.
Why do you associate the two so closely?
Well, they're in the same negative play. You just mentioned the list.
I don't even. I know
Manti Te'o will do the same thing, because what do you think they're going to talk about with him?
The fake girl.
Exactly. Fake girl. I'm just saying all those stories because that's what's sensational. And we live in a media world that sensationalizes everything. Saban should be gobbling up the spotlight. He should hog all the attention. He has earned it and deserve it. But if those guys get in at the same time Saban gets in, some of that will be split off. Saban doesn't care. I'm just saying, Saban's earned all the attention whenever he goes in. That's my point.
Disappointed sports fan texting on the McCarty Daniel hotline, wondering when John L. Smith will be eligible to enter the College Football Hall of Fame. I think he's eligible. Don't think he's going to get a mention anytime soon.
Yeah, I think think that was probably laced with a heavy dose of sarcasm there. So, but, you know, that's an interesting exhibit. It's fun to go through if you're in Atlanta, particularly in the summer. Maybe you're going to a Braves game or you're, you know, just there on vacation. That's a good air-conditioned place to go during the middle of the day. And I don't say just kill some time. I think it's worth the price of admission.
Well, some people had vacation timed out to end up in Omaha, Nebraska, whether it was the first weekend, second weekend, or some of you already booked up. I had a couple Morning Rush listeners text me directly on Sunday and Monday that had to cancel their hotel reservations and bookings. A good chunk of them bought insurance, but a couple of them didn't. So they're out $200, $300, $400 well, bucks.
They bought non-refundable?
They were that confident.
They were that early stupid on. Then.
Yeah, you could. I guess that's that you can look at it, but yeah.
I never do non-refundable hotel. Why would you do that?
I'm not in their mind.
Save $8 a night? No, thank you.
Is it that? Is it that? Yeah, cheap, I mean,
why
insurance?
Would you do it? Well, no, I mean, at least with the, I normally stay at a Hilton or Hampton Inn. Mm-hmm. That, you know, that at Hilton brand of, and there's a prepay, and you get a little bit of a discount to prepay, and it's non-refundable. But for a few bucks more, you have flexibility. So I don't know why you would ever do a non-refundable.
Do you
I need
do,
to talk to these people? I need to be their travel agent, I guess.
Do you do flights that way too? Do you ever book non-refundable flights?
Well, yeah,
you
because always, you can't afford it the other way. There's a little bit of cost difference.
It's what it's like $50 to $100 increase most yeah, times.
Usually,
okay.
Now, I usually fly Southwest, but you normally don't lose the money; you just get a credit.
Credit,
yeah.
And that's typical for most airlines, right? They just give you a credit that it's mm-hmm. not like it when you say when they say non-refundable, it means
I don't know.
Like,
there's some like I flew. Was it Delta? I think it was Delta. We flew when we went to Florida, you know, for my daughter's cheer company.
Atlanta based.
If you didn't make that flight, you were just out. Done.
They didn't hook you up? Like,
nope. Not unless it was their fault.
Oh, that's kind of a scary situation.
So, like, if I just overslept and missed my flight, I'm out, you know.
That's.
Well, I mean, but you save money on the fare that way.
I guess. That doesn't
well,
seem.
No guessing. You do, you know.
That's scary though, because I mean, there's so many
well,
things.
Well, then don't
that
oversleep.
Happen. Yeah, but you, I mean, you've had occurrences in the course of your life that you can't predict, and things just come
well,
up.
Well, then you cancel your flight, then you get a credit.
Someone gets sick or something like
well,
that.
Well, then you cancel it and you can get your credit. But I'm just saying, if you miss your flight,
yeah. Okay, yeah, that's tough. That is a. I don't. I'm a little skeptical of when I sometimes book those flights, but. I guess it's I like to save money in that sort of case.
Yeah, travel insurance generally doesn't pay off, and it's a racket to try to cash in
yeah,
one.
It is.
Have you ever tried that? Like, make a claim on travel insurance? Good luck.
Is that when they're supposed to pay you for?
Yeah, refund your. That's what insurance is for. You know, if you have something occur, you can't make the trip, they give you your money back.
I'm thinking of overbooking. Like when, let's say, a flight airline overbooks a certain flight. And then you're supposed to be able to recoup certain amounts of money based on how much they put you back. That's what I was thinking of when you brought that up.
I've never had that happen.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it's not an issue you ever have to endure. All right, let's get into our CJ's Trivia Tuesday.
This is CJ's Trivia Tuesday, presented by CJ's Butcher Boy Burgers in Fayetteville and Russellville.
It's delicious.
There must be 50 customers out there. It's unbelievable.
When all you do are burgers, they have to be the best.
So there's been a lot of discussion on Caitlin Clark since she's entered the WNBA. Frankly, a lot of players are jealous on the notoriety that she's brought, and she's helped them out. There's more people watching than ever have. They're getting more accommodations. There's just things. But again, that has come along with some jealousy. Now, Draymond Green said recently when talking about the Indiana Fever that they need to add an enforcer to their team, and someone that will, again, not necessarily is the most talented in terms of the basketball court, but is at least formidable in the post or when it comes to chat, whatever the case may be. You just need someone tough to kind of protect Caitlin Clark. There's been plenty of those over the years. You think about some of the great Knicks and Bulls players, but probably the most notable tough team is the Bad Boy Pistons. So our CJ's trivia question is, who was the Detroit Pistons center on the Bad Boys back in the 80s and early 90s? Who was the Detroit Pistons center back in the Bad Boys era in the 80s and early 90s. Probably one of the most hated players ever. And we'll get to some of his highlights coming up in just a bit. But that is your CJ's Trivia Tuesday question. Then
I love watching those like Eastern Conference Finals, Pistons, Celtics. They'd get tangled up. I mean, it was a fist fight like every game. I mean, it was great entertainment when I was, 10, 11, 12 years old.
$25 gift card for CJ's in either Russellville or Fayetteville on the line. Again, quick, easy, and
bonus points if you can spell it right.
Yes, and I think it's pretty difficult. Christian, who we got on the line that's answering a CJ's Trivia Tuesday question?
Arkansas Dave,
what is the answer to our CJ's Trivia question?
That would be Bill Laimbeer.
That is correct. Arkansas Dave, hang on. We will get your information.
Well, I was going to ask Dave a question, but, those games were must-see TV. I know what Jordan did and all of that, but that's the heyday of the NBA.
Yep, and Johnny Most, the former Boston Celtics broadcaster, who was not a fan of the Bad Boys.
There is a violent, violent knockdown by Laimbeer. Oh, my. A completely unnecessary foul by Laimbeer, and he has the audacity to complain about something. They have been called a dirty ball club, and I can see why. This is a typical disgusting display by Rodman, Laimbeer, and Isaiah Thomas. The yellow, gutless way they do things here.
You mentioned that was during one of the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm forgetting the year, but that's when, again, Larry Bird
had
pump
to be
fake.
88, 9, 90, somewhere in there.
There's a Larry Bird pump fake. Bill Laimbeer bit on it, and he just basically grabbed Larry by the neck, pulled him down, and then a brawl ensued, as it often did with Pistons players, whether it was the Chicago Bulls, whether it was against the Boston Celtics in the NBA Finals a couple of times against the Los Angeles Lakers. It was a madhouse. Now, they loved it. I mean, this was their theme back in the day. The Bad Boys. And again, I think Draymond is on to something there in the sense that, hey, the Indiana Fever and Caitlin Clark probably do need to have an enforcer. And I was thinking about, again, Bill Laimbeer, Rick Mahorn, the tag team, right? They weren't the Bash Brothers like Bonds and McGuire, but that was basically what they were on the basketball court. Who were some of the best?
That's back when Rodman was like normal. He hadn't left the reservation at that point.
Well, he was a kid. Yeah, he just came out of
Southeast Oklahoma State in Durant, Oklahoma.
Yeah, he's just a kid. And so Chuck Daly, the late Chuck Daly, didn't have to deal with a lot of the off-the-court issues just yet, like Phil Jackson and the Lakers coach and Greg Popovich and other people had to deal with when he went to San Antonio, Los Angeles, and Chicago. I mean, that team, you had John Sally, you had Rick Mahorn, you had Bill Laimbeer, you had Vinny the Microwave Johnson, Joe Dumars, maybe the nicest NBA player of all time, somehow, some way found himself on the Detroit Pistons, and then, of course, Isaiah Thomas.
Was Muscle and staff, and I know he worked for Daly. I don't know if that was, I don't remember the timing of his being a part of that, but may have been later on. I don't know.
I know when he was here, he mentioned Chuck Daly several times and just the respect and just everything that he liked about Chuck Daly. Him and his late father Bill worked together, I think, in some capacity. But I mean, Daly, of course, the architect of the 92 Dream Team, one of the more underappreciated coaches that's ever coached basketball.
And I wonder if, all of that, all of those things that went on and Isaiah Thomas's involvement, obviously him and Jordan didn't have any love lost between the two of them. So, I mean, I don't know how all of those hurt feelings and those Eastern Conference Finals and, the Bulls were starting to pull it all together at that point. I don't know, if that's the basis of some of that Isaiah Thomas hate for all that. I think they genuinely just didn't like him as a person.
Yeah, I mean, think about it.
I don't think it's so much the competitor or the toughness of the games. I think they just thought he was a bleephole.
Well, they thought Isaiah was the behind the scenes, the architect of a lot of the dirty play that went on, and I think he was. He had them duck the Bulls when the Bulls finally beat him in 91 on the way to their first NBA Finals. They were mad about that. Isaiah was also a Chicago kid, and Jordan just sucked that away from him. Like, and so there's that dynamic. He did. I don't care what Jordan has said publicly. Jordan kept him off the dream team in 92. Well, like you could say that Jordan has talked about that. Oh, it wasn't me. Wasn't that. That's, I mean, kept him off the dream team. So yeah, they're Bird and Isaiah have, like, I've watched these clips recently. They look like they patched things up. Jordan still hates his guts, and yeah. Isaiah still
and it'll
hates
never
his
change.
Guts.
It'll never change.
So, and I never thought that. Now, Bird still hates Laimbeer with the fire of a thousand suns, but Isaiah and Bird, based on different based on different interviews and clips more recently, it seems there's been an amicable, like, relationship building factor.
Right. That's your CJ's Butcher Boy trivia question. I'm going to tell you a good big old burger and a big old basket of fries today with that fry sauce would be a great way to get through a kind of a rainy Tuesday morning.
Yeah, and Keith always willing to help you out in Fayetteville, and Keith and Sally in Russellville. I know Arkansas Dave's happy to be walking away with the $25 gift card. We do this every single Tuesday morning, so make sure you tune in for your chance to win a CJ's Butcher Boy Burger gift card. CJ's Butcher Boy Burgers. When all you do are burgers, they have to be the best.
And, you know, we're talking about Bill Laimbeer, and he was the answer to our trivia question. He was a head coach in the WNBA, and we were talking about Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and their rivalry, and you mentioned the enforcer. I hate that I missed that game on Sunday because it was apparently a Donnybrook, and in the WNBA's finally found the masses to come watch their competition, to come watch their content. And, you talk about drama. They've got it going on right now. But I know early on, Laimbeer was one of the NBA coaches after his playing retirement.
I think the New York Liberty.
I believe that's right.
I think that's correct. I don't have, I'm pretty good about rattling team names off and stuff like that. The WNBA does not come to mind as quick as you can imagine. But yeah, there's more people watching than they ever have. The ladies, Diana Taurasi and all these other all these other great
Detroit
WNBA.
Detroit Shock was the team he coached. Okay. And he did coach the Liberty later on. He started with the Shock.
Makes sense, Detroit guy.
Then was an assistant with the T-Wolves for a couple of years, the New York Liberty and the Las Vegas Aces from 18 to 21.
Imagine your daughter playing for a guy that you may either loved or hated growing up. I would guess that more people hated Bill Laimbeer outside of the state of Michigan than they did like him. But he was a ball player, and it was a big part of why those Piston teams were so good. But kind of back to where we started with Draymond Green saying that they need an enforcer. I agree wholeheartedly. I was thinking about some of the better enforcers, and I'm not as hockey ones don't stand out to me. If you want to text those in on the McCarty Dana hotline, do so at 877-377-6963. Mahorn and Laimbeer, two of the best to ever do it. Some of the other ones that stand out, Charles Oakley, Larry Johnson, two New York Knicks. I know that Johnson played a handful of other places, as did Oakley. You've got Chocolate Thunder, Daryl Dawkins, back in the day for the Philadelphia 76ers. Those were kind of the ones that I have another one down. That's it. Those are kind of the ones that stood out to me. Who is the enforcer? Hockey, football, basketball. It's not really an enforcer in baseball, is there? That term's seldom used and if at all in baseball. I guess if you're just a dynamite hitter, but
it's usually a catcher.
Well, here's the one that first came to mind, and maybe it's the Razorback tie, but the one that first came to mind for me was Steve Atwater. You know, I think about a safety being an enforcer in football, a Ronnie Lott kind of guy. But Atwater was the first name that came to mind for me as the guy that, hey, you come over this middle, particularly in his day when hard hits were allowed and you could take someone's head off. But Atwater's who came to mind.
Ray Lewis.
Yeah, Ray Lewis. That's a good one to add to the list.
Him and Ed Reed. You think mm-hmm. about, and when I think about, it's not just that one guy. It's when you can tag team. I don't know. I'm not as familiar as those 90s Denver Broncos teams. I don't know if there was a linebacker or another safety that Atwater a lot of times combined tackles with. But Ed Reed and Ray Lewis, Christian, as you just mentioned, that's a great pick because they oftentimes were hitting dudes at the same time. Brian Dawkins, Philadelphia Eagle. I remember him saying one time to his teammate, it's like, I want to take that man's soul. I think it was the Reggie Bush when he was on New Orleans. It was just like a screen route basically in the flats. And he just took his helmet off and took him out. Like, it looked like he got knocked out of the planet. It was such a big hit. So that's another guy that
Lawrence Taylor would be another one.
Urlacher, just guys that just scream toughness, and they are going to run through you to get the football.
The ultimate one would have to be Dick Butkus, right?
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day. I mean, back when they played with barely a face mask. And you can probably go back if you do your history and find some guys way back when. You know, I think about a guy that was named Mean Joe Green or Deacon Jones way back in the day. But Butkus would have to be somewhere in that conversation as an enforcer. But I don't know. First name that came to my mind was Atwater, but that's probably the Razorback Tide.
Smiling assassin. Yep. Couple texts here on the McCarty Daniel hotline. Ozark Bob says Gordy Howe. Yeah. Dalen from Hot Springs. Troy Polamalu, the USC Trojan. That's a good one. And, of course, a Pittsburgh Steeler. John Lynch from Levi in Southwest Arkansas. That's good. Man, he is a good GM, too. I did not think he would transition as good as he has. These are hockey names, Tommy. Bob Probert and Steve Smith. I'm not familiar with any of those guys, but that comes from Philip in Russellville. Texted out of the 501, Anthony Mason in the NBA and Roosevelt Wallace. I know Mason, not as familiar as Wallace. Tony Bua, being an Arkansas college enforcer. Think about some of the hits he had.
Yep.
I'd say that's a good one. Jack Lambert, that's from JT in Hot Springs and Hog Mafia. And then Michael in Cave Springs, his is his current NFL enforcer right now is Michael McCarron for the Nashville Predators. So plenty of good responses on the McCarty Daniel hotline and around that, including Jimmy and Conway, who phones in. He's got one of them. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, top of the morning to you, fellas. Hey, I think of a guy like Kamani Johnson, who's not going to light it up. He gives you 120% effort, and he's going to average around 4 points, 4 rebounds, and 4 fouls every time he's on the floor. You can count on it. He's going to get his fouls worth, and that sometimes you need that. And he was a great player, you know, in certain circumstances. He really did a good job.
Yeah, Kamani, I was curious why. You see in the transfer portal, that's a great suggestion, Jimmy. Guys that aren't going to play a lot, just transfer out. You think about Kamani 2 years ago, didn't play really a lick in the regular season. All of a sudden, in postseason, he starts playing. You got to also remember that kid was 6'7", 6'8". He's playing center for Arkansas. And he hit the biggest shot of the season with that put-back rebound over Kansas in Des Moines, Iowa, to basically win you that round of 32 game and defeat the defending national champion. He irritated Oscar Tshiebwe. He did so many things during the course of that season that don't necessarily go in the box score. But yeah, Eric Musselman, I saw he was actually out in Los Angeles the other day with Muss at the practice facility. As hard as blue collars it gets, he was definitely an enforcer. That's a good one, Jimmy.
Someone said, how would we not mention Dennis Rodman? He was a rebound specialist, but I never really pictured Rodman as an enforcer.
No, he was.
I mean, he was a rebound guy.
He was the kid on Detroit, and then he was just kind of the crazy guy that ventured to Chicago. And like you said, it was one of the best, if not the best, rebounders of all time. But it was more of just like the antics off the court and the antics on the court. It wasn't like he's going to bow you up or he's going to set the tone if someone fouls Michael or Scotty. And honestly, they got rid of Oakley, who was the enforcer.
Yeah, Charles Oakley was just crazy.
Yeah, he was
nuts. He's just nuts.
Yeah, that's the guy that I would not miss with E to the Day.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa has everything you want for your next getaway. With the luxury and hospitality of a grand old Southern hotel, the accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit our thermal water bathhouse for mineral water baths and massages, or enjoy one of our many dining options, like our Friday night seafood buffet, primetime in a fountain room every Saturday night, or our award-winning Sunday brunch. Located in downtown Hot Springs, the Arlington is steps away from shopping, entertainment, bathhouse row, and the hiking and biking trails of the national park. Visit arlingtonhotel.com for more info.
Hey, it's Phil Elson. From all these years watching baseball, I've grown accustomed to watching closers in their element. James Teague isn't closing innings anymore, he's closing cases. With almost 30 years in the business, Teague Law Firm is a general practice firm that can help you with most family law issues, divorce, custody, and child support. They can also help with criminal law, both felonies and misdemeanors. Call James and the Teague Law Firm at 479-531-2785. 531-2785. Online at teague-law.com. The Teague Law Firm, if they can't help you, they'll talk baseball.
BetOnline.ag is your number one source for all your basketball info, stats, news, and scores. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest player reports for this year's pro basketball playoffs. BetOnline is always your sports information headquarters this season, as we have you covered for all your sports wagering needs. Basketball, MLB, NHL hockey, right down to UFC and boxing. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way for you to get your betting info, including live betting options and your favorite casino and card games you can play right from your home. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Be sure to use our promo code BELIEVE to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BLEAV. BLEAV. BetOnline, where the game starts.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
I don't know if we're at the last one. I guess we can do this another week or two, but the field's getting pretty slim at this point.
The pickings are getting slim.
But I've still got Tennessee, as I did a week ago at the top of the Pradco Pyramid of Power. They've advanced to the Super Regional. Evansville this weekend, as there was an upset on the other side of the bracket. And,
they get East the Carolina.
Yeah. I mean, it was a 16 seed, but that's the benefit of being the number one seed.
Yeah. Evansville's 0 for the SEC. They got swept by Mississippi State, lost to Kentucky, lost to Vanderbilt. Most of those games weren't even close. And again, they were early in the year, but Tennessee had 12 home runs last weekend, scored 31 runs in three games. Really wasn't challenged by Southern Miss and Indiana. You could always be wrong, but I think Tennessee's going to Omaha against the Purple Aces.
Sorry, all right, guys. So I stepped out on a limb and said that you would have Tennessee number one, too. I'm going to assume that's the winner.
They're number one. Yeah.
All right. I got Kentucky still at number two. No reason to not move them down. They play Oregon State at home, and the SEC of their five teams, Kentucky, Tennessee, A&M, and Georgia all at home. And I like Kentucky this week. I've got them at number two.
Yeah, Kentucky had a tough draw in Indiana State. Mm-hmm. Brought some people there and actually got upset by Evansville Purple Aces in the Missouri Valley final. But they beat a good team a couple times in that regional. But Kentucky's real, play small ball. They don't pound the ball. They just play good defense. They put the ball in play, and they got solid pitching. They're number two.
All right, Kentucky and Oregon State. I thought about making a change at three. I'm going to stick with A&M. They play Oregon. State of Oregon, well represented in the round of 16, if you will. A&M at number three this week for me.
Yeah, and a big win. They beat the Longhorns 4-2 in their own regional down at Bryan College Station. But A&M... Kentucky and Tennessee all lived up to 1-2-3 billing.
Yep. Georgia at four. Thought about putting them at three, but I left them at four. Georgia will be at home for NC State. They're number four in the Pradco Pyramid of Power.
Yeah, I got them there. They had a big win over Georgia Tech in their regional final in Athens. They're going to play NC State. Hog fans remember them from a few years ago, the 10 seed in Raleigh.
Now, 5 and 6 is where, you know, you can really have some conversation. Do you leave the Razorbacks in the Pradco Pyramid of Power? Do you drop them out? What do you do with Florida, who wasn't in last week? They're still alive after upsetting Oklahoma State in Stillwater. Or what do you do with LSU, who made it to last night but didn't advance past North Carolina?
Is Florida still playing?
Florida's still playing. Okay. So I got them at number five.
They're number five.
I got Florida at number five. They go to Clemson this week.
They have the worst ERA in the SEC, second worst hitting team in the SEC, but they're the best fielding team in the SEC.
So, and then I put LSU at six.
I do too.
I dropped Arkansas out. I don't think they're not right now in a best of three they could beat any of these teams.
LSU won 21-29, made the SEC championship. Pushed North Carolina in Chapel Hill to an extra game. They played well at the end of the year.
And that game went, it was 3-3 in the ninth last.
It was 3-2.
Went to extra innings.
LSU lost. This, right. They gave up runs in the ninth and the tenth.
Right.
With their best pitcher on the mound.
Yeah, so. I mean, I was flipping back and forth between that and then UConn and Oklahoma. And that was a fun baseball game.
Did that break your heart? UConn win them?
Nope, not at all.
Okay.
Felt good about that. So Tennessee 1, Kentucky and A&M 2-3. Georgia, Florida, and LSU round out the Pradco Pyramid of Power. Ty, where are we right? Where are we wrong?
I have that 100%. LSU would beat Arkansas right now the way they're playing.
Would Arkansas be even number 7 at this point?
I had them number 7.
Yeah.
I had them above Mississippi State.
Okay. Oh, like you said, they lost that game. I mean, they should have won last night. They should be in the super regional. Didn't pan out. Congrats to North Carolina and Honeycutt and those guys that Arkansas beat 2 years ago. But LSU is deserved of that sixth spot. Tennessee is clear. I mean, they didn't really face much opposition that Knoxville regional, it seemed like, for the most part. I think they're clearly number one. You were talking about before we came on, Georgia's not really the team you want to play right now with Condon and what Wes Johnson has at his disposal. Five teams with the chance to, again, make it to the College World Series. No SEC matchups. We had four last year, I guess. I think it was, no, sorry, four 2 years ago. Might have been four last year, too. But you had 11 that made it. It'd be pretty significant if you somehow got five. I don't think it's going to happen, but if you somehow got five, going to Omaha next weekend.
All right, so you got five alive, as you're just saying. Let's put them in order of likelihood to advance to the College World Series. Tennessee versus Evansville, I think that's easily the most likely. The most likely of the five teams.
Even though Ty's
to get
somehow
there.
A Purple Ace fan. He doesn't even know what a Purple Ace is.
Yeah. Let's see. It's
so you got Kentucky, A&M, and Georgia also at home.
What state's Evansville in, Ty?
Indiana, right?
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Come on now.
Come on.
So of those three, because would we agree Florida's the least likely since they have to go on the road?
No question.
So 1 and 5 are kind of obvious to me, since Florida has to go to Clemson. What kind of order? Kentucky gets Oregon State, A&M gets Oregon, and Georgia gets NC State.
Those are all tough draws.
Yeah, Kentucky, I don't know who's more likely to win out of those three.
Put Kentucky at four. Oregon State's probably the most difficult opponent of any of the three you just mentioned.
I'd agree with that.
Kentucky, you'd put at four in terms of least likely to make it outside of Florida, who is having to do it on the road. So I would have that. I mean, you could splice up NC State and Oregon pretty close together. But Tennessee, clearly, especially with the draw they got with Evansville, is that
I'll put Georgia ahead of A&M because they're not Aggies.
It's fine.
Well, I mean, A&M doesn't win championships.
Well, this isn't a championship.
No, but
this is a super regional.
I understand, but this is how, you know,
I'm going to give them the edge because Oregon's flying a long way and they're playing at home and they've been playing well.
Yeah. A&M, looking at this list. I don't really want O'Sullivan to win another national title. I don't want A&M to win. No offense, Bruce. Don't really care
for
Tennessee.
Well, you don't want anybody to win.
If I'm going to pick someone at this list, it's going to be Kentucky. If I have to pick an SEC team to win the national championship, and you've got one of five options, I'm going with Kentucky.
You really want them hanging that over your head?
I would rather have that
Kentucky
than a former Arkansas
hanging the championship over your head. Baseball.
Just listen. Here's my logic. It's pretty flawed, but here it is. I would rather have that than a former Arkansas assistant win it, which twists the knife even more for Arkansas fans. A&M winning it, which, as you said, Tommy, maybe they don't know how to win championships, but if they do, you can't use that anymore. And then O'Sullivan winning another one.
Doesn't that make you look better and you're able to hire a national championship coach when Van Horn moves on?
Don't you want
a national championship coach to replace Van Horn?
So would you give Kentucky Cal back in exchange for a baseball national title?
I'm not a diehard baseball fan like a lot of people listen. I enjoy Arkansas baseball, but basketball is my first love and will always be that. So my answer is no, but I think a lot of Arkansas fans would. I would rather have a better chance in an Arkansas basketball national title than I would have you can have an Arkansas baseball national title
now. If you pick one of three, football, baseball, basketball, in the next 10 years, guaranteed, which one would
basketball.
You take?
Basketball, football,
Tennessee
baseball.
Take football.
Yeah, it's not
all day long.
It's not close. And I think the majority of our listeners, probably 90%+, would say football that.
They would.
But you've
already got a basketball championship.
Give me another one.
Okay.
I mean, that's interesting. Technically, you had I know that Bama 64.
80,000 people at Reynolds Razorback Stadium would probably disagree.
That'd be awesome. And to do it, and with the postseason changing nowadays, to potentially do it where you have postseason football and Donald W. would be cool. Maybe I just can't fathom it because of how far off they are. And if they were closer, like, say, Tennessee is, then it's more conceivable. And then maybe it's more realistic. And then maybe I realize that this is better. But, yes, I would take basketball.
It needs to be conceivable for all of us in the next 5 years where Alabama is right now. We perceive Alabama's going to be down. We hope they are.
Okay, I will bet that this is the DeBoer thing. I know it's the one everywhere he's been. It is not going to work. The next coach that they hire will. But this is not going to work. It is not going to work in Tuscaloosa these next 3 or 4 years. And when I say not going to work, I'm not talking about them going 6-6 or 5-7 or anything of that. But they'll be in like that 9-3, 10-2 range. But they're not going to be 11-1 or 13-1 or winning national championships. It's not going to happen. The following greatness never, ever pans out like you think, whether you replace it with a former assistant, whether you replace it with a young buck, it never transitions like you think it's going to. And Tuscaloosa is not going to be any different. I don't care how good that football program is.
You know one
is.
Place that does historically? Kentucky basketball.
Well, I hope not
but I'm just saying they usually win no matter who's coaching.
Yeah, and what do we got to go through? Rupp, Joby Hall. Yeah, he's the one. Tubby Smith. Yeah, and there's the seldom outliers here and there, but yes, that's fair. Unfortunately for Tennessee fan, Arkansas fan, that is more true. What do they have, 8 national titles? Is that right?
8 more than we got.
Yeah, let's play more.
In college sports, as far as football, basketball, let's just look at the two major sports. There's only two in this category. There's John Wooden and there's Nick Saban.
Yeah.
I mean, if no one's going to replace Saban. We've seen two in your lifetime, and I kind of got some of the Wooden stuff, but I was really young. I mean, what we have seen is once in a lifetime type stuff.
Well, I throw Bear Bryant in there. I don't think you discount what he did at Alabama.
No, but I mean, this is what we're seeing is just so rare. But I'm just saying the greatness. Saban passed Bear Bryant, right? So I mean,
in a lot of ways, but there's probably some people that disagree with that. But yeah.
But I'm just the idea that he's going to be replaced. He'll never be replaced.
No.
There will never be. There is no coach out there that can replace Nick Saban.
No.
He is going to be a unanimous Hall of Famer as of 2025. What they added him, I don't know if you saw that they added him, Urban Meyer, some other guys to the.
Yeah, I agree with Tommy. They shouldn't allow Urban Meyer and Saban on the same stage.
Nope,
that don't seem right.
Takes away from Saban.
See,
and Manti.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I just didn't anticipate those being, and you brought up a good word, like the sensationalism that media and folks on social media will utilize when it comes to this. And I didn't think about the focus being shifted. I thought Saban would clearly be the one, but the more and more I think about it after you brought it up with the Manti Te'o and Urban Meyer, so even if they aren't inducted, it is going to take up a good chunk of that discussion. And like you said, it should be, even though we don't like him necessarily as a competitor, he still gets should get his just due because of what he's able to accomplish.
Yeah.
But it is that gap that you talk about with Alabama, like the idea that, I mean, I think Georgia is going to fill it. I mean, Kirby, the only thing that was really in Kirby's way was Nick Saban. He lost to him in the national championship in 2018. They lost in the SEC championship last year. I know he beat him 2 years ago, I think it was. But that was the only coach that consistently stood in his way. That barrier's gone. This guy's what, Tommy's your age? He's 48, right?
I believe that's right.
Okay. He's got a long, long treadway or whatever, the runway in front of him. They are going to dominate. I think that even with the additional playoffs, even with the Big Ten growing and not just size but strength, I would be very surprised if Kirby Smart did not dominate college football these next 10 years.
I'll say this. Texas and Oklahoma are going to make it harder because you're going to get an extra loss here and there because the schedule just got a lot harder. That's just a fact.
Mm-hmm. I guess, I think, if I remember correctly, Georgia and Texas play each other this year.
And I'm not necessarily talking about this year. It's just every year, instead of playing Vanderbilt every year, you're going to have one of those two.
Because they want to, like, Tommy, what do you always talk about? The networks, they don't pay for Vanderbilt in Georgia. They pay for Texas in Georgia. They're paying for these marquee games. So the SEC, in turn, is going to try and schedule. So these tougher teams, like these really good teams, are going to have tougher schedules and maybe not be as protected as they've been, because I think Greg Sankey realizes, hey, these teams can still have one, maybe two losses and still make it to the college football playoff because of our strength and the conference's reputation in big-time games.
Yeah, with a playoff format, 10-2, 9-3, that doesn't matter anymore.
Who does Tennessee play non-conference this year? Remind me, is it a cupcake?
I think they got, don't they have NC State in a kickoff bowl?
Okay. It's one of those teams. I didn't know, because you got LSU, USC, you've got Georgia, who we were just talking about. They get Clemson in Atlanta. There's a couple other marquee games that first week, and Alabama goes to Wisconsin, I think, week two or three. But there's going to be some fun off the cup or off the jumps competitions that we'll see early on that kind of set the stages for the year.
And I think, and we talked about this last week out of SEC meetings, 9 games is coming. I mean, you can see it lining up, the fact that profit sharing and revenue sharing is coming. I say profit sharing, revenue sharing is the correct term. $20, $22 million, that number is only going to get larger. Schools are trying to figure out how to not make vast, deep cuts, how to raise more revenue. That would cover a fourth. You know, talking about $4 or $5 million a school, it cover about a fourth of what you need to cover that gap currently. So I think 9 games is inevitable and on the way, just because, hey, $5 million is $5 million right now. And they're trying to figure out, all right, how do we cut $5 million, get $5 million from TV, raise another $5 million somehow through ticket sales and donations, and then, you know, figure out the other $5 million somewhere along the way, because it's going to take a multi-front effort to clear this, $20, $22 million you're talking about in revenue share.
And then whoever has that home game, you're talking about an extra 15,000 to 20,000 people. Instead of playing Jacksonville State, you're going to play Ole Miss. You know, you're going to pack the stands more.
So, you know, I'm not a fan of unbalanced schedules, but that's where we're headed. So
they have to be.
You know, and then so every other year, you know, you're going to have a little more revenue coming in than the previous year because you're going to have one extra home game.
Yeah.
And I like to have, hey, whatever that price is, it's kind of the same for 3-4 years. But, hey, ticket prices across college sports are getting ready to go up.
Good point.
I mean, they are going up. And I can tell you, when they hadn't put out basketball renewals for this year, but you can bet with everything going on and no one's going to turn them back, you're talking $100, maybe as much as $150 more a seat for basketball this year at Arkansas. So buckle up.
People,
none of this is cheap. And if you think the manna is going to fall from heaven on this, it's going to come out of your wallet, my wallet, and the rest of us that buy tickets.
Yeah, you go to a Final Four, win a championship, nobody
going
cares.
Up, and you hire a name like Cal. It's going up.
They will not have difficulty selling those tickets in basketball, but they will in football. Yeah.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
So Arkansas got a commitment from three-star 2025 Little Rock Parkview quarterback Quinn Murphy yesterday. Yes, Ty, why is this important? Well, it's important because Brad Bolden, coach of the Parkview Patriots, has five guys in the class of 25 and 26 that have plenty of D1 offers, including from the Arkansas Razorbacks. Now, it is not as often and as numerous that you see that amount of prospects within one high school in the city of Little Rock. So that's awesome for Brad Bolding. We'll see if they continue on their stretch. They've had some good seasons under him so far. And you would like to unlock some Little Rock talent that has been lacking severely for these past couple of years, and maybe Murphy will be one of the several guys that commit from his own high school.
Yeah, that's becoming, you know, kind of the premier program, I think, without question, in Pulaski County. You know, Bryant and Conway kind of in the adjoining county would like to have something to say about that, but the Bolding brothers got it going on at Parkview, and you know, I think they're a magnet school, and I think right now they're a magnet for football talent in the capital city.
Yep, you go, like, when you think about the great high school football programs in the state and kind of where they were, they won the, if I remember right, they won the state championship last year. Greenwood did 6A, and I guess Fayetteville did. Fayetteville for 7A with Drake Lindsay.
Fayetteville and Bentonville played each other.
So, yeah, because I remember C.J. Brown talking about how salty he was about that Arkansas wide receiver, Bentonville guy. But yeah, that's one of the programs right now that has it going. And last week or a week ago, whatever it was, Grayson Wilson transferred from CAC to Conway. So you've got some...
Followed his coach there, mm-hmm. the J.D. Plumley, the coach that was at Malvern and took them to a state championship a couple of years ago, is now at CAC.
Yep, Central. So that is some Central Arkansas talent that you want to keep an eye on. We'll see if Murphy is the only or one of the couple Parkview Patriots that commit to Sam Pittman in this football program. Cal got some good news. Malik Thomas, in the class of 2025, consensus five-star prospect, is going to be visiting at the end of June. This is going to be one of the many guys that you host on campus in the upcoming classes of 25 and 26. I know he's probably excited about that. Congrats to Wayne Martin, who is on the 2025 Hall of Fame ballot. The former Arkansas Razorback was dominant. Still, I think, is the career leader in sacks all time here at the U of A. Yeah, and was a guy that was just ferocious in the 80s playing for the Arkansas Razorbacks.
Took him to some Cotton Bowls. If I remember right, he spent most of his pro career with the Saints. Or I know he spent some time with the Saints, but he was an outstanding defensive edge player for you. Yep. No question.
Hall of Fame Saints player, at least in their whatever their list is.
Yeah, Ring of Honor or whatever they call it there.
Whatever they call her in New Orleans. All right, that is your Hog Update this morning. It is brought to you by our friends at Mr. Sparky.
You don't have to put up with any malarkey. Call 888-8-SPARKY.
Apparently yesterday, Tommy, was National Thank God It's Monday Day. Have you ever said,
no,
thank God it's Monday? It's usually the opposite. It's holy bleep, it's Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Or this sucks, it's Monday. It's never a positive. I have never in my entire life heard anyone associate anything positive with Monday.
No. No one. Who wants the weekend to end?
No. Unless it's a three-day weekend, like, for example, Memorial Day. A lot of you had Memorial Day off. Can we remember why Memorial Day is a thing? But that was, I guess, a positive Monday. But rare is it, and I say positive, it's negative in some light because of what occurred and what occurs year after year. But it is rare that you say anything positive about Monday. I never sleep. You and I are in the same camp. We never sleep well on Sunday nights to kind of get back in rhythm.
Money's the drag.
Yeah, I try and my fries. The only day I really stay up late nowadays, unless I'm out of town, is Saturdays. I try and be in bed even on Friday nights by 9 o'clock. Saturday, I'll stay up till the break of dawn. I'll stay up till 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, depending on what's going on. But yeah, I never sleep well. I always feel terrible on Monday morning, and it's just a terrible, terrible day.
I don't know who would be thankful for a Monday to roll around.
Not a single person.
Unless you work the weekend and Monday was your weekend.
Now, maybe why it was national, thank God it's Monday day, is because it was also national leave the office early day yesterday. We have...
Everybody left. Me and Betty were the last ones here. Everybody left the office early.
It's Monday, so
yeah, I guess they took up on for that holiday. So
Mondays, Britt says Mondays aren't that bad. People forget that 2 days earlier it was a Saturday on Friday, I guess, or on Saturday, I guess it was. But I think it's like especially after Arkansas losses, like Mondays are the worst in terms of just the reaction, the vitriol, the anger that flows throughout our airwaves a lot of time for listeners, occasionally for me, especially during football season. But it is never necessarily a good day. I will say we haven't got as much negative discourse on the program today as we did yesterday. And talking about, I think people have kind of not necessarily settled down, but rethought about what they initially, because you know how hot, I mean, you've done this
again,
long.
We can't let a vocal minority define how everyone thinks. You know, there's a handful out there that want massive changes. That's fine. They're entitled to their opinion, even if it's wrong. But I think some of these handful of calls we've had about the head coaching position and Dave Van Horn and, you know, fire everybody kind of takes, that doesn't, I don't believe that speaks for the majority of our fan base at all.
I do, I've come to understand is that this fan base does want to change with the hitting approach. Is that fair?
I don't think that's even right that a majority wants that.
So what would you say? You think they're just par for the course?
Do what?
Par for the course?
I think in the end, you still had a really good regular season. I don't know if it's great. A disappointing finish. But I think, and again, this is kind of where I come from. I don't know if I speak for a majority, but I wholeheartedly 1,000% trust Dave Van Horn. If he thinks there needs to be a change, then he'll make a change. But, you know, I don't think it's my place, your place, or anybody's place to say we take a football approach to this. We need to fire the offensive coordinator. We need to fire the hitting coach. The pitching coach needs to be gone. We take that approach to this. We don't understand all the, you know, it's not like there's 50 people on staff like there is in football to pick up every task and make sure everything's done. Baseball runs a lot leaner on manpower.
Good point.
And I don't think we understand all of the other things that a guy like Matt Hobbs or Nate Thompson provide to this program and assistance to Dave Van Horn. So maybe I'm just putting blindfolds on here, but I think I'll just trust Dave Van Horn to figure out what
it is. It is interesting to watch the pendulum swing throughout the season of which coach needs to be fired.
Do we want a better hitting team? Yes, I think we all agree with that. I don't think just changing hitting coaches is going to provide you instantly another 100 points in batting average.
No, but I do.
I'd love to be wrong on that, but I just don't think that you can. You know, I think some of it's you got to recruit a different type of athlete and quit trying to hit a home run at every at bat.
Well, I will say the last four seasons where they've exited postseason prematurely and early, it's been because of hitting, not because of pitching. And that's an issue.
Well, we ran out of pitching, though, this year. We just ran out of starting pitching.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Have you tried Benville Brewing's new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale? It's handcrafted in Arkansas. You'll taste the great tropical citrus, including the passion fruit, the guava, and pineapple. It's creamy, zingy, and zows the taste buds. It's weird, wonderful, and wacky all at the same time. Try the new Space Goose Hazy India Pale Ale from Benville Brewing.
Sounds like Tom Murphy is detained for the moment, so we will venture into an unfortunate news that we got over the weekend. Larry Allen, the 52-year-old Hall of Famer, Dallas Cowboys, San Francisco 49ers, Sonoma State, passed away in Mexico with his family. Larry Allen's one of the best run blockers of all time, 1996 Super Bowl champion, and was just a force in the trenches.
In the pit, only the strong survive. For 14 seasons, Larry Allen was a raging bull in those trenches, a force to be feared.
And we always, when we talk about the Cowboys, we always talk about Aikman. We always talk about Irving. We always talk about, I mean, we mentioned Dion here and there. We talk about Emmitt Smith. But as you and Chuck have pointed out to me several times, those teams aren't the same without guys like Larry Allen in the trenches that just... like the organization, like again, they're a lot of times linemen are glossed over both defensively and offensively, but that team is a different team if not for Larry Allen in 1996.
No, no question. And, you know, that's where they won all those championships up front. So yeah, absolutely. And Larry Allen was, you know, the alpha amongst that group. So, outspoken, one of these guys that always had an opinion. So, you know, hard to see. You said he died in Mexico on Sunday?
Yeah.
On a family vacation. That's just terrible. So
don't know really the status of why he passed away, but yeah, that's, I mean, 52's, it's not exactly old. So it's unfortunate. And he had a bunch of players that came out in, not defense, but what's the proper way to put this? In remembrance or in remembering of Larry Allen, including the Hall of Famer Emmitt Smith, who had this to say about his former teammate.
The one thing about Larry Allen I know, he had a big heart and he lived life to the fullest. A man of very few words, but on the football field was a beast.
Gone too soon. Again, the Hall of Famer, 52 years old, no longer with us. Larry Allen dead, unfortunately. And again, a family of all things. Like, I mean, death is never, it sneaks up on us. It comes out of the woodworks. It's never something that you want to endure, but on a family vacation of all things.
And being out of the country, that,
yeah,
they can't make it any easier to navigate that. But, you know, you just think about Larry Allen and, you know, the name Nate Newton comes to mind, Stepnowski. I mean, anyone that was a Cowboys fan in the 90s knows that offensive line, you know, up front. You had Eric Williams, Mark Tuinay, you know, and, of course, Larry Allen, Hall of Famer. I mean, just that was the secret. I mean, you had the triplets with Aikman and Emmitt Smith. But those linemen were really the secret ingredient to all those championships in the 90s.
Yep. JT Hot Springs calls him the greatest right guard in NFL history. He texted in on the McCarty Daniel hotline. And I don't know if he was ever characterized as an enforcer, but he definitely enforced up front. And we were earlier in the first hour discussing enforcers back in the day. For those that don't know, like some of you have seen it, Caitlin Clark got a little bit of scuffle and it's really... has not had the best of starts to her rookie season, facing off against WNBA players. And it's jealousy is a big part of this, right? And I understand, honestly, both sides. I understand Caitlin getting frustrated with what's going on. I also understand other players that have been working, putting the time, the work in, and seemingly not getting any spotlight until she entered the league. Draymond Green posed an interesting idea, and I agree wholeheartedly 100% that the Indiana Fever need to sign an enforcer for that basketball team. And you think about some of the great ones over the years on men's side of things. Think about Charles Oakley, Larry Johnson, Rick Mahorn, Bill Laimbeer, and some of the others. And we were kind of talking earlier, you brought up Steve Atwater, which is a really good one. Tony Bua. Or plenty of other
ones. Troy Polamalu.
Troy Polamalu is another one. And we also mentioned, we didn't get to this one, but you said this during the break, Dan Skipper.
Skipper would be probably one of the better enforcers in recent years in Razorback history. Yeah, I mean, he took care of business. And if there was something dirty going on or a little scrum, he was always right in the middle of it.
Found himself in it. And the thing about Skipper is, like, if you went to practice, like we got to attend during the Bielema years a handful of times, he, like you said, was in the middle of the offensive and defensive linemen skirmishes. A lot of times he would laugh. Even like in Detroit, you'd see him time to time get into some of these. And there was this clip that we played from Dan Campbell, who was just gung-ho about Skipper, who, got, if I remember right, got moved to guard in the middle of the season, a position he had never played before this past year. But and listen, I don't like Aggies, but Dan Campbell, even though he's a Texas A&M grad, I actually like him as a football coach. He's about as high on Dan Skipper as any of his players up there in Detroit.
Yeah, and when you think about enforcers, and you're talking about this, and we're blurring lines here with WNBA and talking about NFL. I mean, you're comparing apples to bumper cars, in my opinion, but. I think this whole controversy, and if the WNBA will play this right, can really draw even more of an audience in. I don't know what the numbers were for the game over the weekend, but anytime Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark are going to play each other, I think you're going to find a big audience for that. They need to play this up. And if Angel Reese has to be the villain and Caitlin Clark's the hero, great. It's good for it's a rising tide that's lifting the entire boat of the WNBA. I don't whether it's jealousy, whether I think there's some of it because of Caitlin Clark's background. She's a white player from middle America. And I think with some that really built this WNBA over the last 25 years and haven't been given the credit for that, that's not setting well. But the reality is you can't do anything about the past. Now you have an audience. Now you have the masses watching. How do you keep them here? And if you don't handle some things right now, you could run them off.
And we got a couple texts in about Dennis Rodman being an enforcer. You and I agree that he was
a rebounder.
Yeah, he was a rebounder. And he was just...
He wasn't an enforcer. He wasn't an intimidator.
Yeah. No one was ever like scared. They were just kind of like, what is Rodman going to do today? He was going to get you 16 boards during the course of the game.
Two technicals.
Yeah, and attempt many shots. And I know Phil Jackson, I know the old story back in the day, Michael asked Phil, can you handle him? And Phil was like, I think so. And there was even that time where I guess Rodman went to Vegas for a day or so. Michael had to go get him. And just the stories. But yeah, he is not the enforcer
Carmen Electra, so you can't really blame him.
No. Some of the texts that we got in, like Taylor Greenwood says, Dwight Howard and Shaq. Shaq was like a lovable enforcer. I mean, he hit you if he needed to every once in a while, but that is
he was just so big, you weren't going to mess with
Shaq. Daniel Gafford is apparently turning into an enforcer, comes from Levi and South Greenwood. You talk about some of the best blocks in the playoffs this year. Daniel's been all over those. I mean, how many times has a guard for one of the teams in the Western Conference got on the rim and Daniel swatted it away? He has been awesome on that side of things. But back to your Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese comparison. I mean, think about, I remember, so I love Celtics documentaries and Lakers documentaries and books on this stuff. I remember Cedric Cornbread Maxwell talking about this when Larry got in the league. He's like, this white guy can't play. And then he was like, he hit a jumper in his face, and he hit another jumper in his face, and he hit another jumper in his face. I mean, Kayla Clark's play is going to get to a point where she's going to earn respect from her peers. She doesn't have it right now. In fact, she's hated. And I don't blame a lot of the WNBA players like that, because they weren't getting any attention. And now she comes to the league and there's people, I don't blame them for that, but I think she, again, I've just compared her to Larry Bird, so maybe that's a bridge too far, but I think she is the caliber of player that over time will show not just her teammates, but opposing players that, hey, I might not want to mess with her because she could drop 30 any given night, and while she's going to have some ups and downs in her rookie season, she is someone that you will actually tune in and watch night in, night out. And what they did with Larry and Magic back in the day, and they should do this with Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark based on the differences, not just racially, but in just their style. One's a big man, one's a guard, is you pin up Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark,
yep,
and parallel them in games back-to-back. Like Reese's Chicago squad and then Indiana. You play them back-to-back games, and then when they play, you market the ever absolute you-know-what out of it. Because that is a game that people, like myself, who, to be honest, have never watched a single NBA WNBA game from start to finish, yep, I would actually watch that game from start to finish because of the rivalry, because of the animosity, and because...
Conflict.
The conflict.
We all like drama and conflict.
Exactly.
TV is based around drama and conflict anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's what we crave as American viewers, whether it's sports, news, or otherwise. We love drama and conflict. Speaking of the Indiana Fever, I'm looking here on the Bet Saracen app. They play the Washington Mystics on Friday at 6:30. Fever catching a point as the Mystics are the favorite. And you mentioned Chicago. They play the New York Liberty. The Chicago Sky are underdogs at 7.5. You can get WNBA action. It's also noticing here on the Bet Saracen app, Ty, Arkansas and Texas A&M already a line out for that. And the Arkansas LSU games are out.
I'm going to say A&M is a 5-point favorite and LSU is like a 3-point favorite.
All right. You missed wildly this time.
Oh, wow.
A&M's an 11.5-point favorite.
Wow.
That game on September 28th at noon is what it was. Well, they just got noon and there's a placeholder.
Yeah.
And then LSU is a 9.5-point favorite.
Okay. Both basically around double digits, even though yeah, the LSU one's right around.
Let's call
it.
Them 10-ish.
So,
in both of those games. Bet Saracen, download the app. You can start seeing some of these lines. There's more wagers on those games as well that you can pick out right
now. A week from today at 1 o'clock, the SEC will announce the kickoff times for the early games for the entire season. They're doing it differently this year with being partnered with ESPN and ABC. So if Arkansas's in any early games the rest of the season, you'll know about it next week. So you can game plan well into the summer before this upcoming football season.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent. Subscribe to the Hit That Line Podcast Network, the best podcast in the Natty State. Just search Hit That Line wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.